I picked this topic because it has its, well, it is a holiday of miracles, the holiday of Hanukkah, and this big question that is discussed by the poskim has its roots in Hilchos Hanukkah. So, there, everyone got a sheet. So, the Shulchan Aruch writes, I'm going to take a sheet, I'm going to take their food. Okay. First of all, thank you to David for hosting us. Nice to get together here. It's nice to be inside your house. I was only outside your house getting the sukkah, but it's nice to be inside. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that, as we know, on Hanukkah, we say the Al HaNisim in benching, and Bimei Matisyo, as we know. And the Shulchan Aruch writes the halacha, what happens if you forget? If you forget the Shulchan Aruch writes, it's actually the Ramah, hence the small print there. But in Source 1, Kishashachach Al HaNisim Bevirchas HaMazon, if you forget to say Al HaNisim, which unfortunately is all too common, when you get to the Harachamans, Yomar, you should add, Harachaman Yasa Lanu Nisim Niflos, the merciful one should do miracles for us, Kashem Shasisa Lavaseinu Bayamim Mahim Azman Azeh, as you did for our forefathers back then and these days, and lead from there into Bimei Matisyahu. And then you make it up during the Harachamans at the end of benching. Okay, very nice. Seems innocuous. However, the Achronim on the Shulchan Aruch are bothered by a problem. Because the Gemara tells us in Brachos in Source 2, commenting on the Mishnah, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Samech says, it's talking about the Mishnah, which says that the beginning of this Gemara, Haisa Isha Muberes V'Amar Yirotzen Shetelet V'Chulei. Nice, they left out the Zachar part. So, okay. But the Gemara, the Mishnah says that if a man's wife is pregnant, and he wants a daven that it should be a son, so Harezu Tfilah Shav. The Gemara says that's a Tfilah that's in vain. To daven to have your son once your wife is pregnant. And the obvious reason is that once she's pregnant, it's already decided what the gender of the baby is. So to daven for something that's already decided is a prayer in vain. So ask the Gemara of Lamahani Rachmi, what do you mean? Mercy, tefillah doesn't work? God could do whatever he wants. So God could change the baby from a boy to a girl. So the Gemara says, Masiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asked, so the story in a week and a half ago's Parshas Vayetze. So we read about the birth of Dina. And Chazal tell us, Rashi tells us there, that Dina was, that Leah prayed once she was pregnant. She prayed that it should be a girl because it was going to be her seventh child and she knew Rachel would be left out. And she davened that it should be changed from a boy to a girl. And that's what Rashi says is exactly what happened. And that seems to show that you can pray for this to happen. There's nothing wrong with praying for a boy once you're pregnant for the gender of the baby. So the Gemara says, "Ein maskirin ma'isa nisim." You can't bring the story of Dina because that was a miracle. That doesn't prove anything. That was an exception. That was a miracle, and that's what happened then. Yes.
Can you also say, is it midrash? I mean, it's not the pshat in the Torah. Also, so it's like not even before Rashi.
That is true, but the Rashbam writes in Parshas Vayishlach, if I'm not mistaken, the Rashbam writes that the assumption is that not every single Midrash, but most Midrashim, many Midrashim, Chazal assume that's what happened. Why it's written in a different way is a question that the Mefarshim deal with. But, you know, for example, last week's Parsha, so this Ruvain, so Rashi brings down that it says Vayishkav Ruvain is Bilhah B'Hadesh Aviv. So Rashi says that didn't actually mean that Ruvain slept with Bilhah. As the Gemara says in Shabbos, I'm saying, Kolmer, Reuven, Chatei, and Olatoa. So the Rashbam doesn't address all those points, but he says, generally speaking, the Iker is the Drash. What the Midrashim say, that's how we assume is what happened, or seems is what he's saying. And then, okay. So we have here, you pass the sheet. So we have a pshat that why it's written that way, some of us should deal with that as well. So clearly the Gemara assumes this is the case. And so Gemara says that's a miracle. You can't prove anything from there. The Ibai same, or you can say Maisa Delea Besochar Boim Yom Hava. Or no, maybe that was different because it was within 40 days. And the assumption of the Gemara is that before 40 days, the fetus has not fully been formed, and at that point, it's still valid to pray. It's not decided yet. So you can pray just like you can pray before a woman gets pregnant for a boy or a girl. So it would be valid to pray within the first 40 days as well. That's what the Gemara says. But the first answer of the Gemara is that, no, it really was a miracle, but you can't use that to prove anything about our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you cannot daven for something miraculous to happen, and just because it happened once with Leah, you can't prove anything from that. Rav Moshe Feinstein in a tshuva, interesting tshuva, he talks about insurance. Are you allowed to take out life insurance? I think is what he's talking about, if I'm not mistaken. So Rav Moshe discusses this this gemara in that context. It's not it's not considered. He has a whole tshuva explaining why you can have life insurance, and it's not like a lack of bitachon in Hashem to take out life insurance. But in that he discusses this point, and he explains this gemara as many of the achronim understand as well, that this is in effect telling us, as we see Rabbi Akiva Eiger actually mentions in source 3, on where the Shulchan Aruch quotes that Mishnah, you shouldn't daven that your wife should have a baby boy when she's pregnant. So the Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, Al yispal adam levakish davar she'inu kfiyat teva. A person should not request anything that goes against nature. Of course, it is in God's hand. God could go against nature. God can make a miracle happen. Kigon hipila ishto leches shchadashim. He's giving an example. If a woman in the times of Chazal, the mefarsh of the Achronim, I think say that we stay nishtanu atfam here, that the nature has changed. But in the times of Chazal, if a woman gave birth in the eighth month, that was considered not a viable baby. And it says, ein mispalan alav shichi, you're not allowed to daven that the child should live. Of course, it could happen, the child will live, but you cannot daven for that. And ve'asar lispalal shi'ase lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu neis b'shinoi olam. A person cannot pray for a miracle to happen against the nature of the world. Now, why is that so problematic? You know, if God could do it, why can't we daven for it? What's wrong? So there are a number of explanations, but one that's mentioned is the Gemara in Shabbos in Source 4, where the Gemara in Shabbos has an interesting story. Tanur Rabbanan, Ma'isa be'echad shemesa ishto v'hinicha ben linok. So first case happened, a man's wife died, and he had to find someone to nurse the baby. He lost his wife. And he had no money. He couldn't hire a wet nurse. And a miracle happened that he was able to nurse. He had breasts like a woman, he was able to nurse. Wow, amazing. So we think that's great, right? So that's what Rav Yosef said. I'm Rav Yosef. He says, wow, what a person. A miracle happened for him. A man was able to nurse. Unbelievable. Such a miracle happened for him. Amar lo Abaye. Abaye said, no. Andarab, on the contrary, kama garua adam ze, shenishtana lo sidre beisha. So it's low, it's bad that such a person had the order of nature changed for him. So what you see from this Gemara is that God doesn't want the world to be run on miracles. God can make miracles happen, but Hashem doesn't want the world to be run that way. It's almost a bad thing. In fact, that if something so against nature happens, that's what Abai is telling us. So it seems that the way Hashem set it up is that we should follow the rules of nature. And many Bali Machshava deal with why that is, and how, you know, if Hashem really controls everything, why is there nature? What is it? What is Teva? No, we're not going to get into that. But there is clearly that's the way Hashem wants the world to run. And that would fit in with why we shouldn't pray for a miracle, because that's not what Hashem wants from us. Hashem wants us to live in this world, do the best we can, do the mitzvahs to the best of our abilities, and that would be it. So then that begs the question, how could it be that we daven on Chanukah, if you forget Al HaNisim, the Shulchan Aruch writes that you should daven, that Hashem should make miracles for us like He made miracles for our forefathers. So how could that be? So the first answer I want to present, there are a number of answers, but I'll start with the commentary of the Shari Tshuva on the Shulchan Aruch in Source 5. And the Shari Tshuva quotes from his grandfather, the Bechor Shor, known as the Tfuos Shor. He's the one who really opened up the sugya. I think he's the first one to really talk about it. He lived in the 1700s. So he says in Source 5, Ayin mashkaz of Adoni Avi Zikni, my grandfather, Bechor Shor, even though it's clear in the Gemara Brachos that we learned that you shouldn't pray for a miracle. Oh, what's the difference here? You say in plural. You say a miracle should happen for the Jewish people. Shop your dummy, that's fine. I was actually discussing this with someone, and he asked me this question. I had forgotten when I spoke to him a few days ago. The Shari Tshuva mentions this, but he says in the Nusach of Nesias Kapayim and Duchening. So, I mean, in Israel we don't say this so much, but if in Chutz La'aretz, so they, you know, the Kohanim sing. Ayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayay those letters you can't say, and you just read it over in the bold, in the art scroll. So it says there, it has a lashon there, that v'yasa li nisim, it says. So he says, you shouldn't say that. You should say, l'shachanisiskapayim lo yomar v'yasa li nisim, rak v'yasa lanu nisim. It says you should ask for miracles to happen to us. I see you're thinking about what your citizen. Maybe it does. Maybe it does. Okay. So maybe it does. Apparently, once upon a time it said Lee. Maybe based on this, they change it. Okay. So look how this sugya impacts mamash the tefillah, the lashon. Pinchas over there. Mamash the lashon of the davening you have. So the question is, why should this really make a difference? I mean, based on what we say, I mean, God does miracles for the masses and not for the individuals. So maybe. The explanation is, there are multiple reasons. It doesn't have to be just one reason, but a further reason the Achronim point out is in source 6. And the Gemara there says, La'olam al yamud adam b'makom sakana lomar she'osa lo nes. Shema ain osa lo nes. So this is the famous idea we know. Ain somchan al nes. We don't rely on a miracle. And so the Gemara says, a person should not go into a dangerous spot. Don't drive into Ramallah. A miracle happened. I'll survive. Shema ino salonis, because maybe it won't happen. So we don't rely on the miracle. And then the Gemara continues, im osin lo nes, and let's say a miracle happens, maybe you'll survive Ramallah. So then what's your attitude about that? So the Gemara says, menakilo mizichu Yosef, that we take away, God takes away from your merits. Apparently, in order to merit a miracle in this world, you almost have to trade in points. God gave you points, you've done good deeds, you have points coming to you in Olam Haba, and in order to have some great miracle happen to you in this world, you need to trade in those points to be worthy of such a miracle. And that's obviously not our perspective. We are working our way to try to become people who are fit for Olam Haba. We do more and more mitzvahs, so you give away your zchuyos just to have a miracle happen. Better, you shouldn't have done that. Better to stay away from the dangerous spot. And don't rely on a miracle happening, both because it might not happen, even if it does, it's still not good for you. So maybe we can explain that if we're talking about the community, all of Klal Yisrael have, not even all of Klal Yisrael, but many people of Klal Yisrael experiencing a miracle, so then, everyone's chuyos together, all the merits of all the people together, so maybe that kind of outweighs, it's worth it, it's okay when it's so many people together. One person to have a miracle just happened for him alone, so then you have to trade in all your points, so that's not appropriate, that's not okay. But if you have a situation where Klal Yisrael or a community is going through a miracle, so maybe that's something that's okay to pray for, because it's not really, can spread out, disperse that trade in all those points amongst all the people, and it's not really so bad. Maybe
that's the expression. Right?
And the schus the rabbi, maybe that's the idea. The schus the rabbi, and there's so many schuyos exactly that works.
Seems like also here he's like part of it is that he's punished because he was so mechalanized.
Yeah, so
not as much that they Hashem intervened and gave him a miracle, and therefore he's pardoned, so to speak, or his schuyos or whatever. But it seems like also it's almost like the punishment that he was because he put himself into a dangerous situation.
Very good.
He should have known better. So.
So you're mechavin to Rav Moshe Feinstein. So Rav Moshe, and it's not true about insurance. So he explains, he has a little bit of a different take than I'm presenting, but he says that's exactly the problem. Because he says, going back to Leah, so good. So a miracle happened with Leah, but how was she allowed to daven for it? Why was Leah allowed to daven for a miracle? That happened.
All our forefathers had miracles happening around.
So that's what Moshe says. So that's what Gemara says in a number of places.
Panika,
yeah, for sure. So that's what the Gemara says in a number of places, that we have a tzaddik can have a miracle. Maybe the same idea. A tzaddik has so many schuyos. So for him to have a miracle, why that is, the line, Chazal say, tzaddik goes there, Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. And tzaddik asks for something, Hashem will do it. So Leah was a tzaddikus.
What's the difference between Li and Lana? Right? You can ask for a nes for someone else, maybe, but not for yourself.
Okay.
Now, Leah, she wasn't asking for herself a nes, she was asking a nes for Rachel.
Interesting.
So different.
Interesting. Very nice. Okay. That's very nice.
What's the difference between
they really talk about the Rabbin, since it's plural. It's not really about someone else. That's what the Achronim kind of say, maybe the Schus HaRam point they were saying. But that's an interesting idea as well. But Ramosha says, going back to David's point, Ramosha says that if you daven for a miracle, what, you think you're like Leah? You think you're a tzaddik? You can ask for a miracle? You think you can go into a dangerous place and expect a miracle to happen? So that chutzpah, to think that you're such a tzaddik, that's where you get punished. That's why you're not allowed to do it. You can't have that chutzpah. And if you would do it, that's why you get punished. Menachem Lomas Chayosef, for thinking you were so great. That's our Moshe. It's not so much that you have to trade in points to get a miracle, but it is, like David said, it's a punishment for that attitude. So again, they also fit in, the you know, talking about the Rabbim, so that's fine. You're not considering yourself to be a tzaddik. You're asking on behalf of the people. So yeah, Klal Yisrael, we know that Klal Yisrael is judged differently as a klal. You know, I'm forgetting right now the context in which Chazal say it, but Hashem never wipes out the Klal Yisrael. There's a Pesukim in the Tocha talk about an individual might be punished, but Klal Yisrael is always going to survive. And so to daven for that, that would be okay. Let me jump to, I don't want to take out anyone else's time, so let me jump ahead to a couple of other interesting tirutzim. I'm going to skip Rav Tzadok, take a look at it on your own if you like. Rav Yitzhak Arieli, who was a Rosh Yeshiva Merkaz Harav, named Sefer Einayim LeMishpat, so he has another two very interesting answers. So they didn't have it on the Bar Ilan, I didn't photocopy it, so I'll just tell it to you outside. But he says the following. He says, number one, what are we actually asking for? When we're asking for miracles, what are the miracles that we're asking for? So he says, when we're saying, Harachamanu Yaslan or Nisim, Poshasisalav Aseinu, we're asking for the redemption. We're asking for the Geula. Those are the Nisim. Those are the miracles we're asking for. And that, he says, the Pesukim talking about, the Tanakh talks about the miracles that are going to happen at the end of days. So if you're asking for a miracle that was promised by Hashem, what's wrong with that? We know Hashem, like we said, Hashem has done miracles. Hashem will do miracles. So you can ask for those miracles. That's fine. So that's when we say that lashon, what do we mean, right? We say a tefillah, what does a tefillah mean? It says they now mishpat, but that's what we mean. We're asking for the geula, and when we ask for the geula, we're asking for miracles that were already promised. So that's not problematic. It's not a chutzpah that you don't need to trade in anything. That's Hashem already promised it. So that's one answer he gives. Second answer he gives is the following. He says that where are these miracles going to take place that we're asking for? Maybe it's along the lines of the first one, but he says, these miracles we're asking for are miracles going to take place in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara said, he quotes the Gemara Nivamos in Source 8, won't read it inside, but the Gemara says that even though the halacha, we don't practice this nowadays, but the halacha is the Mishnah says that once a person's been married for 10 years, and doesn't have children, so he's supposed to divorce his wife or marry a second wife in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Purvu. And the Gemara, the proof the Gemara brings is from Avram Avinu, that after 10 years, he took Hagar. But the Gemara notes, he wasn't married for only 10 years. He'd been married earlier to Sarah. They said, no, he was only it was after 10 years after he came to Israel. Because the Schutz of Eretz Yisrael is different. You can't judge it based on what happened in Chutz Aretz. It says, they die in the Mishpah, we're dying for miracles happen in Eretz Yisrael. Those are miracles we can't daven for. Miracles of Chutz Aretz, that's what you're not allowed to daven for. Miracles of Eretz Yisrael, you can't. Even Prati, doesn't, because he's not distinguishing between Yochanan and Rabbim. Says to daven for a miracle in Eretz Yisrael is allowed. He also adds the source 9. The Gemara says that just read quickly from Chizkiyahu Anovi Kach Mekublani Me Beis Abi Abba.
That's a hard one.
Yeah, that's what he says. Ayin Shum. I'm pretty sure we could look at it again. So he says also in addition to Eretz Yisrael, he says another situation. He says it's obvious that if you find yourself in a makom sakana. You fall into danger. You didn't put yourself there. Something dangerous happened. So Gemara says in Brachos, Kach mechublani mibes abi abba, this is Chizkiyo HaMelech talking, afilu cherev chad munachas al tzavaro shel adam. If a sharp sword is on a person's throat, threatened to be killed, al yimna atzvam min arachim. Don't hold back from davening. So if you actually do find yourself in a moment of danger, you can't say, it would be a miracle for me to survive. You're allowed to daven for a miracle in that case. Why? We could go through the reasons and try to explain why that should be. But that's how he points out that even though he said not for a miracle, it seems to be Chazal are telling us, if your life is on the line, at that moment, you are allowed to daven for a miracle. Okay, just the last answer, to close with this.
That was challenging for me.
Yeah, why?
Both of those are really hard. Yeah, go ahead. Well, it's obvious, if you're in a situation in which the sword is to your neck, as you say, I mean, anybody in that situation, pretty much, even you could argue an atheist or agnostic, whatever the case is, they're going to suddenly have a
no atheist in a foxhole.
Right?
Yeah, that's exactly. They're going to have that moment. Whereas, if you're not in such a situation, you think that there's a sense of clarity and a sense of purpose, perhaps deeper meaning, in which you are, you know, you're beyond that sort of last moment situation. You're more vested in it. You've considered the options. You think this is something that you need to ask God for. Whereas in the other situation, you haven't necessarily thought about it. It's just like, I got nothing to lose.
Right, but so you're arguing for it or against it?
No, I guess probably against. But
no, I think what you're saying is, you know,
we don't know what it's saying.
Meaning, yeah. No, if you've thought it through, that's the point. And you're rationally thinking through life.
Yeah.
Whatever approach you want to take, but clearly this world doesn't run on miracles. God can perform miracles, but God runs the world based on nature, the natural world, and God doesn't want us to disrupt that.
It's fine, but what's challenging for me is that it's acceptable when there is no thought put into it, and it's unacceptable when you have the opportunity to pursue that. Maybe I didn't make a clue. That's
right.
The differentiation.
Right.
For Christ.
Right. So one thought I had, and you could say that if you take a step back and your life is online, so especially going back to the Menachem Mizrachi, where it's you lose your merits. So, you know, is it death or giving up trading in your points if you take that approach? So, okay, life is on the line. You trade in your points, so to speak.
But what do you have to lose? You know,
right.
Falling out of the airplane.
Right. So I'll trade in my points. You know, right. So that maybe that's one. And then also the chutzpah, you know, it's hard to call you, ooh, you're so arrogant, you're down. I mean, you're not. Maybe it is actually part of your argument that there's no arrogance at that moment. There's no sense of, ooh, I'm so worthy of a miracle that I'm down for a miracle. No, you're just desperate. Your life's online. You're down for a miracle. So going with David and Rav Moshe's pshat, there's nothing problematic with that request at that point. There's no sense of you think you're greater than you really are.
That's
it. So maybe those are some basis for it.
Between a miracle and mercy also. You know, like you want Hashem to save you. You don't care. It could be a miracle. It could be a natural means. You're just asking for
right. But
some sort of intervention. Rachamim, is that intervention? Or
right.
Just,
so you're right. Maybe this Gemara doesn't mean. I mean, the Gemara is talking about you have mamash. The sword is on your throat.
Right.
So you say maybe it's a natural way for that to happen. It's not exactly done for a miracle.
Also, what is it really a miracle? Are there natural
that's
miracles.
That's oh, so that miracle? So that's what gets us. That's gets us to the end.
You didn't. The whole Torah is full of miracles, left, right, and center.
No question about
King
that.
King David or his general got spun up in the air, and it froze time to save him from the sword.
No question.
Eliezer goes to Saddam. I mean, it's full of just miracles after miracles.
There's no question about that. But it doesn't
make sense that you're not allowed to ask for a miracle, but yet
that's
it
does.
In this game,
the Torah. Meaning it sounds like you read the Torah, but it sounds like once. But it sounds like the Torah's miracles are happening every day. The Torah is over thousands of years, and Tanakh is over 1,000 years, and there.
Well,
yes,
presents
Hashem
us with miracles after miracles of miracles.
Because Hashem, that's what the Torah tells. Because God can do it. The question is, are we meant to have either the arrogance that we can ask that we are deserving of it, or is it that God performs miracles but we are clearly not meant to live based on miracles? We're meant to live based on the natural world. So it's an interesting dynamic of, you know, on the one hand, knowing, and we must believe, that's what Rabbi Kivager says, we must believe Hashem can do it, and Hashem has done it, and will hopefully perform again miracles. But in terms of, don't ask for it, and we're not supposed to live our life that way. I mean, we know that it's on a different note. It's the idea of hishtadlus and mitachon, that we go to work and we have make a living, and we don't just sit back and say, God, send us food. You know that. So that's clearly how God wants us to live in this world. Mm-hmm. But that leads us to the last answer that I wanted to present, and that's the Shari Tshuva is the second answer in source 10 on the back page. So he says, "Gam yesh lechalek." You can also distinguish dikagon ahi demelchemes chashmonoi. So going back to what are we saying when we're asking for miracles? So we're relating, and what we're about to say is the bimei matis yahu. That whole prayer, remembering what happened then, was all about the war, rabin biyad me'atim, all the miracle of the war against the Greeks. So he says that war shanisim hayu derech teva olam. Those miracles happened in a natural sense, natural way. Lo haya tefila shav. That wasn't a tefila in vain. Aval tzarich lizarim lispal shiaslo neis hayotzi miderech teva olam. The miracles we can't pray for to go out of the natural order. to ask for a miracle within the natural order, that would be permitted. So the milchama, so as we know, with people's perspectives on the wars of the state of Israel, you can have the perspective that they're miraculous. Hopefully a believer does see that the events leading up to the development of the state of Israel and the continued existence and flourishing of the state of Israel is unbelievable and miraculous. Many people don't see it that way. Many people say have natural explanations for how it happened, and we were able to bomb them at the right time, and they made this decision and that decision, and there are explanations that are given. So we believe that these are the hand of Hashem playing a role in history. But this is, on the other hand, it is done through the natural order of things. So those are types of miracles. To ask Hashem to help us in the natural manner, those are things we can pray for. To ask for Hashem to do something completely against nature, to flip things around, that is what's inappropriate, as the Rabbi Kiviger's example, just going back to source 3, you could go and Shiyotzi Ilan Zeh Peros Kodem Zmano. You want it to produce fruit before before they get ripe, before the season. Just fruit just sprout forth. So that's going against nature. But to ask something that is within the natural order, so those are miracles that we can pray for.
To win the lottery.
To win the lottery? Someone's going to win the lottery, naturally speaking.
Right,
that's it.
It's not a miracle.
Right. Right. Exactly. So that's, and that very possibly, just to close, is one of the messages of Hanukkah. That it's an interesting point that we were all taught as kids. Why, and it's really a Gemara. Why do we have Hanukkah? Why do we celebrate Hanukkah? What does the Gemara say? What are we taught as kids? You're probably going to be right. Don't worry. We celebrate Hanukkah because of the miracle with the oil. That the oil lasted for 8 nights. It only was a little bit to last for 1 night and lasted for all 8 nights. That's what the Gemara says. That's what Hanukkah is all about. Yet, we daven every day of Hanukkah. And every time we bench on Hanukkah, B'mi Matisyahu, Al HaNisim, talking about the miracles. And if you pay attention to the words you say, you make almost no mention. There's a veiled reference at the end to the lighting of the candles, but it's not really, there's no highlighting of the miracle there. It's all about the war against the Yevanim. So what happened there? So Reb Chaim Friedlander, in his Sefer Siv Sechaim, suggests that what Chazal are trying to get at is based on, the Ramban tells us in Parshas Bo, is that we are meant to take those miracles which change nature, where we see God's open hand in the world, changing nature, the miracles we read about in Tanakh. And those are meant to remind us that God is in control of the world. And then we can reflect on the natural miracles of the Chashmonaim, of the state of Israel. Think whatever you might have in your life, winning the lottery. We can think about all those natural miracles and realize, oh, it's not something natural. This is really Hashem behind it. Hashem is running the show, and Hashem is providing this for us. And that's why when we focus on davening, what we say all the we were taught as kids, and the main part of Hanukkah is lighting the menorah. Lighting the menorah is to remind us of that miracle of God changing nature to make the oil of 1 day last 8 days. But then when we carry it into our tefillah every day and every time we bench, then we can appreciate the war. We can appreciate the battle against the Greeks and realize that it wasn't just a natural victory. It was Hashem running the show and Hashem helping us through. And so, it's in this time of Hanukkah that we reflect on God's power, of God's ability to not only perform those great miracles, but to perform the natural, quote-unquote natural miracles in our lives. And that's exactly what we should be davening for. We should be davening for Hashem to help us in all aspects of our life, to be healthy, to our parnasa, our children, to be inspired to do tshuva. We'll get into that. But to have moments of inspiration, all the natural things that we do and try to improve our lives, so that we should be davening to Hashem for, and that suggests that Shari Tshuva is what we're saying in the tefillah when we add at the end of benching. Freilich and Chanukah to everybody.